Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. And now, the second half of the examination of the Book of Concord as a missionary tool in Africa, with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Welcome with us today, the Reverend Dr. Ansi Simeoki, who was the former Vice President of the Africa area of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. He retired in 2010. Ansi, welcome. Is Luther, who is all often said to have had no mission zeal or motivation at all, and the Lutheran Church has regularly been criticized for its lack of mission and outreach. Is that a fair criticism or assessment?
It's easy to say so when one is completely ignorant of the facts. So to say those absolute truths which are not true at all, and that applies very much to this, what you said about Lutheran mission. It's a general and unfortunate misunderstanding that Luther didn't understand mission work. He was a man of mission because he didn't focus on mission organizations and mission politics, which is nowadays so fashionable, in mission bureaucracy. They're suffocated by mission work, is oftentimes suffocated by very heavy mission bureaucracy. But it means Luther was focused all the time on the gospel, all the time focusing on Christ. And he said that the gospel is like a quicksilver. Drop it on the floor, and it's the nature of the quicksilver to go everywhere. And so is also the gospel. So it cannot be contained, canned, and kept in one place. It must go everywhere. But Luther was also a realist. He lived in Saxony, and if he crossed the boundary between Saxony and other princedoms, he could be anyone could kill him, because he was interdicted and in Worms, and therefore only in Saxony he was safe. Anywhere else, anyone could kill him.
Yeah, he had a bounty on his head.
Yes, dead or alive, as George W. Bush said. And therefore, Luther, all the time, he was thinking, for example, the Islamic mission, which is now very much fashionable, Islam. Luther read the translation of Quran, Quran, and also the early Italian commentaries on Quran, those Italian scholars who have been among the Muslims and knew Islam from inside. And he had, a mission program, because the Turks, they took so many people from Eastern Europe and brought them to Istanbul and kept them as slaves, perhaps could release them later when they were useless and send them back to their villages and towns. And therefore, Luther says, all these people must know what is the Christian doctrine, know their catechism. And when they are serving there faithfully and doing their work admirably in the slavery, they can bear the witness to Christ. And if their masters and the people ask, they can teach the pure gospel to these people. But political realities were not in favor of Luther himself doing it. So Saxony was surrounded by Catholic princedoms in the south, and the seas were controlled by Spain and Portugal, who were in alliance with the Pope. So no Protestant, no Lutheran missionary could even dream of crossing the ocean and go elsewhere, because the Portuguese and Spain, they had divided actually the world, the Spaniards and the Portuguese, and the English sea power came much later. In the 17th century, actually, after the defeat of Armada. So it was like the situation in Europe was recently, that during the Cold War, there was the Iron Curtain, impenetrable Iron Curtain. And so this is what curtailed Luther's possibilities of a practical mission work. But his theology of mission was very clear. And so therefore, I'm happy that you made this question so that we can dispel this grave misunderstanding and error concerning Luther and the mission.
Because the Lutheran Church and its mission and its outreach is more prevalent today, perhaps, than ever before as well.
Yeah, but it's now it's because it's politically we have different times now. The communist boundaries, also the inequality between the Asia, Africa, Europe, various continents. We are living in a global culture, as in a mini scale during Jesus and Apostles' time in the Roman Empire. Now it's global, and so therefore we have to say most people know. They say that the largest language in the world is bad English. So people, but I mean now there's a similar situation. And therefore, most of the almost all doors are now open. Only there's this Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Central Asia, and even there, people are they are hungry for Christianity because they are so fed up with this suppression and oppression, not only of women but anyone, even men. They are yearning for freedom, to be free men, and not be in the slavery of fanatics. And therefore, this endless wars and bloodshed in Islamic countries has, of course, this hunger for the Word of God. And therefore, if we could have a picture of the internet, how many, let's say, people from those countries, they seek internet connection and they're looking for the gospel, for what is Christianity. We couldn't believe that there are so many.
Another question that strikes me, that some folks may object to the work of translating the Book of Concord and Luther's other writings into different African languages, would be, are we not trying to import German heritage into the African continent? Are we not trying to be European imperial overlords again? Is this an issue?
There are actually two factors. There are missionaries, even today, who think that Africans are children, and they are not. And they, why should we bother with our theology? And African students themselves are yearning, they're hungry for this scholarship and wisdom. And so as they're interested in Plato and Aristotle, all this it's not a European heritage only, it's that of the Roman antiquity, and it's now a global heritage. So it's not a German business. And as I said, that we Finns were wild pagans 1,000 years ago. And then what came? We don't say that something came from... It came actually from Ireland. The first missionaries came from Ireland. And it's sort of Irish business or English business or later German business. But we say we received the gospel. And that's how people think. And now Christianity is we call the word... We can use the word, it's Catholic. It means it's universal and not particular. And therefore, all these nationalistic or cultural boundaries mean very little for us. Let's say national identities must be, of course, respected and taken seriously. But at the same time, remember, although I'm a Finn, I'm part of the Catholic, it means universal church. And therefore, universal also, so it means that Luther is not only a German, he's also my teacher. Thomas Aquinas is a part of my history, although I disagree with him. Or Athanasius in Egypt, he is my bishop, who lived in the 4th century. So this is me, meaning I'm a Catholic, a Lutheran Christian is a Catholic Christian in the very sense of the word, because the doctrine and even the liturgy the Lutheran Church practices is the Catholic. It's universal, starting from the very early church and continuing and showing, and it's also in this outward way that it's true what Jesus says, I shall be with you this very every day to the very end of the age, mean this continuity is there. And therefore, Reformation and not revolution, not to break this historical continuity from the days of the apostles under the second coming of Christ. And therefore, there's no German business or American business or Chinese business or. And now it's only time that Africans take their place in this. I have this conviction that the next Lutheran renewal, I wouldn't say Reformation, but renewal. I am looking towards African Asia, and young theologian who are not being spoiled by this hedonistic Western culture that only we know about drugs, sex, and rock, and entertainment, and wild parties, and driving around. So that's all we know, this deadly entertainment, hedonistic entertainment culture in which we live. Now new people come and teach us again the basics of the salvation. Therefore, I'm looking towards those areas which are beyond attention today. So Africa, Asia, Siberia perhaps, or somewhere else, so that the men and women of renewal will come from there. And so actually this huge movement in immigration is bringing more Christians to Europe, more Christians than Muslims. The majority of them are Christians. And after visiting a couple of times a liberal service in a former mainland church, which is like crumbling down, they go and perhaps in an old corner shop, they open a church. And so that's how in England, in Greater London, where the churches are growing, because of thanks to the immigration. And therefore, these people, wherever they need our biblical Catholic heritage. Universal heritage.
And I think it's interesting. We think of Lutheranism as being a predominantly European or North American. But how many Lutherans are there in Africa?
No, about, say, more than 20 million. There were times that the German Lutheran churches, so-called Landeskirchen, and also the Scandinavian churches and the American churches were the far more, largest ones, but no more. In Ethiopia, it's more than 5 million, 5, 6 million. Tanzania, 5 million. The Church of Malagasy, 5 million. Finland, which has been, when I was ordained in 72, so the percentage of church membership, Lutheran church membership, was 92% of the entire population. Now it's down to 80, and it's dwindling. The Sweden, during its the tenure of its most liberal archbishop, and he was really celebrated for his liberalism. During his tenure, about 1 million people left the Lutheran Church. So this is a flow out here and flow in elsewhere. So and so in Africa, during this miraculous period of 20 years, which goes together with the population growth. So it means now the Lutherans are more than 20 million. And so the African Lutheran churches are already, and they will be the largest Lutheran churches in the world. Think about Nigeria. Tens of millions of Anglicans. And how many there in Britain? We were taught in school and 50 million, but there are about 2-3 million. So this the same development is everywhere in the world. Then it means that the renewal must come from there, from yonder side of the world, and convert us back to our true heritage.
God has a good sense of humor, doesn't he?
Yes.
It's wonderful.
And he's wise. He knows what he's doing.
It seems very, very interesting that here in Europe, the bed of Lutheranism, we tend to ignore, whether consciously or unconsciously, the Book of Concord, our Lutheran heritage. People in Africa are very hungry for it, want to know, can't get enough of that. Is that a reasonable, and what might be the cause of that?
First, if I comment on one thing, is that this is a European thing. Of course, we can say a layer of the Book of Concord is Europe. It's part of German history and our history. But what is under there, the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, it's not European anymore. It's part of the Levant, I mean the Near East. It's a Near Eastern history. And below there, there are the books of the New Testament, the Old Testament, the Hebrew. So the Christianity is also in this respect universal. And so growing like this, it also borrows hymns from various countries, various phases of church history. And therefore our African hymn books are full it's a global hymn book, as is a English hymn book, or German hymn book, or Finnish hymn book. And now this the question of why bother them with our European theology. So there was a bishop who studied in Wittenberg in the 1500s, and during the Luther's time, his name was Michael Agricola, and he was a bishop, very busy. He was also a diplomat negotiating the peace between Sweden and Russia. He died below the age of 50, or exhaustion. But what was his most important duty? He translated. He translated to New Testament. He translated the prayer book. And when he was criticized that, why not Latin? It's a universal language. Why this Finnish language, which is so despicable? And he said that he who has created the mind of all men, he also understands the Finnish language. And therefore, let us, we Finns, we worship in our language. Let the Africans worship God in their own language and not with a borrowed. And that is my answer. But then we come to your... Now I finally come to your question, and I refer to this culture in which we are living, hedonistic entertainment culture. So people, they all the time, we have new impulses, sensations, something new all the time, and what we traditionally call the Vanity Fair. The whole world is just a Vanity Fair, and now it is true that only people who experience the true reality of life in its all seriousness. If hungry people are not fed with candy or a piece of cake, they need food. And people who are threatened by wars and epidemies, they need something real. I remember a guy, a very liberal guy in my country, and he said that our hymn book is too sad. It's talking about sicknesses and death and guilt and all those things. We need a modern hymn book where we are full of joy and happiness. But I asked the man, have you ever thought the reality of the world? What you talk about, these happy days are here again, Christianity. It's just some privilege a little elite of this world can enjoy this kind of life. And even they die and they suffer. But the billions of this world, they live in very different conditions. And so they cannot be fed with candy. We need something real. And therefore, the Word of God is not a plaything, not to please people. Paul said, we are not selling. We are not like market people. Buy this, I give you discount. When people are selling fake Rolex watches and so forth. But it's something very precious. It's free of charge. It's free of charge. There's no price, but it's never a discount thing. It's precious but free, and only those who need it they will find it. It's this frivolity, which is the hedonism and frivolity, which is in our present Western culture. It's only like a dream or smoke which is billowing from somewhere, but the true face of the world. And the earth is completely different. And we must keep that in mind. That was Jesus. When he saw the crowds coming, he pitied them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So we are singing in that key, not the entertainment, hedonistic entertainment and this frivolous key of the present media culture. Just a power cut and off it goes. But the real life of a people continues.
When the Bible, the mm-hmm. Book of Concord, Luther's writings, go to Africa, many people would say, that's a bad thing. Why not leave the Africans with their native religions or their animistic religions? Is it not doing them harm to try and convert them to Christianity?
Many times Africans themselves have commented this, and I've heard in East Africa and elsewhere. And those people they said that you Europeans, you had to abandon your idols, and we must do the same if we want to be saved. And so it's not a question about religion, but it's about Christ, Jesus. To know him brings eternal life already in here, in this world, and then forever. And therefore, the word religion is a wrong category. It's like measuring milk with a measuring tape. You can't do that. One cannot do that. Because it's a wrong measure. And therefore, speaking as a this religion, that religion, we should be, is Christ there or not? Is Jesus there or not? And where's the gospel? There we find Christ. And that's when all the Africans... Africa has also its history of martyrs, many, many martyrs. And this history is even present today. Like in the Sudan, they have been persecuted because of the Christian faith and other countries as well. So if they would be asked that, what about if you go back to your original religion? I will not go back to the devils, because after learning to know Christ, I'm God's child and now I see. I how the things are. Those spirits and those ancestors and those which are there, they are not friendly. People fear them. And I remember some evenings or nights in West in the bush, one could feel there's something very thick. Enveloping people around, and that was fear. Something very threatening was around. But when the light of the gospel comes there, and the life of people are changed, this fear is dispelled and exorcised from this. So Westerners, shallow Westerners who know very little, they know everything better than they know it better people, and they know nothing about these things, and they understand nothing, because as I said, our culture is nowadays so shallow, so superficial, so skin deep. And we also need the same thing, that the Word of God would dispel this with what is now plaguing us and distorting our life from the image of God to something else.
We have our own idols.
Yeah, yeah. We are like entertainment machines all the time to entertain ourselves, because we have lost that sense, the understanding that we're the image of God, and something we should have something much more important than just entertaining ourselves day by day.
We'd like to thank you, Dr. Anssi Simeoki, and we do keep you in our prayers. We will keep the Lutheran Heritage Foundation also in our prayers, and may God bless the work that is being done in translating the Word, the Book of Concord, and all of these other Lutheran works into these languages in East Africa and throughout Africa.
I'm very happy if you remember me, and let us stay together in prayer, but also remember that now I have a successor in my place in East Africa, Pastor James May, a very competent, I call him a marine missionary, because he's a bold man, and he's doing wonderful his work. So remember him and his six children and his wife in your prayers as well, as you remember me. And let us stay together. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.